T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan has been nice enough to join us every Monday for the last couple of weeks to kind of bring us up to date on what she is hearing, both as a member of the state legislature and as a doctor here in Central Virginia. And thank you very much for coming back. What's the status, you think, this morning? We're not seeing huge numbers, at least at the moment, or at least huge increase in numbers. Do you think that we've kind of stabilized here in Virginia? Do we need to brace, like the people in New York, for another couple of weeks from now, everything blowing up in our face here?
I think that the best data that we have is that... Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
How are you? I think the best data that we have has Virginia spiking early to mid-May. Mm-hmm. So I think we're still in the quiet before the storm. I think that Virginia took precautions well before they were at risk for kind of mass exposure. And I think all reports are New York did not do that as early or as effectively as Virginia has. So I certainly hope that we are in a situation where, as we prepare for the worst days that we might have, that none of those days will include, as much drain of the hospitals as we've seen in New York.
Yeah.
Having said that, we are prepared, and we're prepared for setting up additional satellite hospitals. But even in New York, where there's such a mess, I was really encouraged to hear Dr. Fauci say, it's bad, but we've never run out of capacity.
And that's very important, where if there was a place where the numbers could just overwhelm the facilities that exist, even with the Javits Convention Center being open, that's the place where you would see it. So I guess when you're talking to state officials and we talk about the spike in Virginia in another month, another 5 weeks, I guess, what does that mean? What does a spike in Virginia mean? Assuming things stay isolation-wise the way they are right now, what is a spike?
A spike and let me see if I can get to that data for you, but basically a spike would mean that we are going to have full utilization of capacity, and that at the worst case scenario projected, we will be short ICU beds and short ventilators based on the hospitals we have available now.
And, is that because of Northern Virginia, or would that be statewide? You think the numbers are going to...
It's statewide, but we do expect things to be patchy. I wish we could say exactly what we think things are going to look like, but these are grids, and we're going to see how reliable they are over the next few weeks. But these are basically, plotting the bell curve. Mm-hmm. Based on what we know, the population density is, how many people have had it so far, what we've seen in other places. But, they're just projections. It's not a perfect analysis. But I think that, in the worst case scenario, we would have a lot more people dying than we're seeing right now. I believe we're at 51 in Virginia.
Right.
And so I don't want to be doom and gloom, but there's a real, there's a reality to this virus that there's a certain number of people who have certain conditions. If they get it, the likelihood of dying is pretty high. And we want to make sure that we do everything we can for those people and for everybody else. You know, it's interesting. We follow Canterbury here, Canterbury Rehab here in my district. And they, in looking at that, there was so much concern about the exposure there. And that was a very fast curve for them, right? If that's an example, people got sick early. We saw a couple of weeks later a lot of people sick, and then we saw quite a few people die. But when you look at Canterbury, they were able to get capacity to go in there and do testing, and they tested everybody in there. Well, something like 58% of the people in Canterbury were positive for coronavirus. They'd had it, and they had absolutely no symptoms.
So I guess it depends on how you look at it. That's a great thing that they didn't have any symptoms, or wow, they had it and had the potential to spread it and had no clue.
Well, that's true, but they also, you know, that's maybe what's happening in our population. Maybe we're getting a lot of herd immunity and we don't know it. So for most of the people that get this virus, and we don't know how many because we haven't had the capacity to test everybody yet, but for most people who get this virus, maybe 90-95%, they are not very ill. They recover very well. Yeah. So if we're looking at our peak days in Virginia being right around, and they move the graph around all the time, the end of April, the beginning of May, what they're saying is that we will have a sufficient number of beds based on the expectations that we'll be short about 231 ICU beds. We'll have the right number of regular hospital beds, but we'll be short some ICU beds and short some ventilators.
Yeah.
So that kind of predicting gives Virginia the opportunity to do exactly what we're doing. We're getting ventilators. We're making sure we have them. We're making sure that we have a way to set up additional ICU beds. All hospitals are looking at being able to flex up on beds for surge. Yeah. And so this is, at least, you know, we have the opportunity to make sure that everybody can get the best care they can get, not only for COVID, but for anything else that might put them in the ICU.
Well, it sounds like there's a real effort to make sure we're ready for the worst case spike here. And in our last minute, and I'm sorry, I've saved this question. How are we economically? Is there a team that you're aware of with the governor and with, you know, informed by members of the legislature who are saying, all right, the governor set June 10th as the tentative day that all of this sheltering will stop. What's the best strategy for getting important elements of the economy going again so more Virginians don't lose their jobs? Is that a part of the planning right now, or have they been able to find that capacity yet?
Well, I don't know. I would say that would be an area in which that has fallen to a lower priority in communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that many senators have stepped forward and have said this is a real problem. We need to have a conversation. We have reconvened in 2 weeks,
right?
And or maybe even more like 10 days. And you know that we have really urged the governor to make sure that everything that was additional spending, and there was a lot of additional spending in this budget, mm-hmm. be pared back, held, delayed, or set aside until session next year so we can see where we are economically. I'm a little nervous that those conversations need to be happening. I've seen an article and have heard the governor say, not himself, but heard word that, you know, we're going to take care of COVID now and we're going to figure that out later. I think you have to kind of be strategically figuring out simultaneously. I'm pretty sure that our Secretary of Finance is figuring it out because Secretary Lane's very diligent on those things. But we hope that the one thing that gives me confidence, even though I feel like there needs to be a more robust conversation right now, mm-hmm. is that we have to have a balanced budget and we have to reconvene this month.
Yeah, well, thank goodness that's in the Virginia Constitution or we would really be
amen.
In a bind. It forces some tough decisions to be made now rather than, just kicking the can down the road. We've seen what that's done up in Washington. State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Dunavant, you've been very kind to join us every Monday, and I really appreciate the expertise and the inside information that you're able to share with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for making sure everybody knows what's going on, John.
We're trying.
Appreciate it. Have a good week.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.